Unpolished Little Gems, Episode 7, Escape. What does it feel like to be trapped in lockdown with the wrong person? Dislocated was performed by Emma Austin and written and produced by Tasmin Pinder.
It's funny, after all these years, people from school are getting back in touch, you know. Ooh, how is it in London? Or concerned and stuff. And why don't you move back here? And you know, we've got toilet rolls in Morrison's on Ross and Wye. Mountains of toilet rolls, normal price. I guess most of them move back after having kids or just never left. Oh, I couldn't imagine. It was horrifically boring. The idea of just staying there, stuck. That's why I got out of that hellhole as soon as I could. The funny thing was, I had no interest in keeping in contact with any of them, not one. It's only now I'm desperate to hear what they had for dinner last night, or what they watched on Netflix, or how old their children are. For 20 odd years, I didn't care a jot, didn't think about anyone from back home. It makes you care though, doesn't it? In fact, they're not getting in touch with me. I'm the one who's getting in touch with them. Getting in touch with you. So, we're here on day 15. It's, well, I guess it's fine. No, it's not fine. No, it's definitely not fine. It's, you know, when you think you kind of get along okay with someone, and that's good enough because you've your own independence and your own friends, and yeah, so you might sit down and have dinner together, and that's fine. But when you're stuck in the house with these long, just silences, and you just think, what the hell am I doing? Why am I even with him? Because actually the silences are the good bits. At least you're not ripping each other to shreds or bickering over, just constantly bickering. In the silences, I think about things. Like today, I was thinking about smells. I know that sounds strange. I'll try to explain. So I used to have this perfume which smelled like freshly cut wet grass. And I don't know how they did that. It was only a cheap body spray from Boots, but it smelled really beautiful. Like the essence of the countryside, being out in the garden on a summer's day. My mum used to have a great garden. Oh, you should have seen it. Really pretty. Especially when the rose hips bloomed, so fragrant and sweetly perfumed. But they had these enormous spikes, I'm not kidding you, they were like this, and those thorns could just tear you to shreds. I've always thought if I was a flower, I'd be a rose hip, because nobody would mess with me. Well, I've looked all over for this perfume online and I've come to the conclusion it must have been discontinued. Oh, and another one I remember today. Do you remember that smell? A rich, sweet, sickening stench of manure, muck spreading. On the fields where the boys played football, behind the school. Oh, I never said thank you for inviting me to the reunion last year. I regret not going now. Could have seen you. Anyway, I bet it was fun seeing how everyone's grown up. Familiar faces and all that. You know, when we talk, it brings it all back in flashes. Things I'd not thought about in years. And then I have to say that afterwards, I look at myself here in this place and the sheer emptiness. And I just think, why am I with him? You make me happy. You bring me home. And even though I'm here with him, I'm not really here. I mean, he's not the one I'm talking to when I feel scared. He doesn't sit up with me at night or reassure me everything's going to be okay when I have panic attacks. I don't talk to him when I need a friend or when I'm bursting with happiness and want to share that life is so brilliant and precious. I talk to you, and you do all that for me. You know, that day on the school bus, you probably wouldn't remember, but I'll never forget it that day. You said to me, you said, if we're still single in our 30s, will you marry me? It's funny. I think now that we're in our... I mean, with all of this stuff going on in the world, there's just more time to think about things and people who matter. But you see, I love you. And yes, yes, I'm yours.
June is a housewife in the 1950s East End, and she's beginning to question the way things work. Royal Crescent was performed by Mary Tillett and written by Tracy Haywood.
Oh, all right, Reginald, I'll be there in a minute. Oh, up and down these stairs he has me going, slinging spuds and onions. Me back has never been the same since giving birth to Shirley and Roger. 6 days a week in the back of the shop, then doing his tea, and then sitting alone waiting till he comes home from the pub, waiting to see what mood he's in. I wonder what that must be like, to do your day's work. A man's work, not what we do in the back of the shop. Then go out to the pub and come back in whatever mood you fancy. If it was me, I'd think I would come back in a good mood, a nice mood. Sounds like such a lovely thing to do, to go out and have a drink with your friends, so I don't understand why... Oh, but there we go. But there's something that's been playing on me mind for a while now. Ever since Sue, down the road, told me how her husband's boy at the bakery hadn't turned up for work one morning. So she got up at 3 a.m, taking the deliveries, counting stock, weighing the flour and setting up the ovens and keeping going all the way through till mid-afternoon when her husband shut the bakery. Anyway, she was telling me about how she did that every day for a week until her husband had found a new boy. And I thought to myself... That sounds like work, you know, which is funny, because men are always telling us that we can't work. All right, Reginald, I'm on my way. Once I started thinking about it, I thought of all sorts of examples where men had figured out ways in which women can work. The oldest one, of course, is working the streets, being a woman of the night. If the men didn't think that was work, then they should let the local men put their greasy paws on them 12 times a day for the cost of a pint of milk. There's something about knowing they're out there all the time. Open all hours, I suppose. It's there as this constant warning. Behave, otherwise you too will know what it's to hunger for food more than for your... Well, you know. You see them with their black eyes sometimes trying to get served in the shops and... You wonder what else is bruised that you can't see. In the workhouses, the men, the masters, found work for women, didn't they? Sewing, spinning, weaving, working in the vegetable gardens. They had those poor women working all day long. They decided it was fine then, didn't they, for the children to be without their mothers. They say help is much kinder now than it was in those days, if you need it. I haven't seen much proof of that myself. I don't know if the help is any kinder than the streets at all. And during the war, the men again found work women could do, didn't they? Working in the factories, building the ships, working on the land, even driving. Then the men came back, and all of a sudden the women couldn't work anymore. Too emotional, too weak. Funny how we seem to get over all that when there's a war on. And now the war is over. And the women go back home to raise the children, because we can't work, apart from in the sewing rooms and in the back rooms of the men's businesses, like my friend Sue and plenty of others, hidden and doing the work, doing the books, keeping the business, their livelihood going. But still, the business is in the name of Mr. Palmer. Mr. Palmer is a drunken, gambling philanderer, being propped up literally by a woman who can't stand him. She wouldn't be with him if she could choose. I wonder if he knows that. I wonder if that's why he's always so... But she needs to hold up a man in order to make a living, because we aren't allowed to do it on our own. He knows that too, Reginald. You can see this look in his eye when I ask him to do something, like to come home from the pub early or to take me out to the tea rooms. We'll see, he says, which, and I know exactly what he means when he says this, it means, no, I don't want to do that, and I don't have to do anything I don't want to do, because you're here, because I let you be here. And the worst thing is he's right too. No, that's not the worst thing, actually. The worst thing is the other look I get when I don't ask, when I tell him. I'll say, Reginald, you can't go out gambling tonight. We need to make sure we have enough to pay for deliveries on Thursday. And he says nothing. He just gives me this other look, this dark look with thunder and anger just roaring under the surface. And I know what that look means. It means you're alive because I allow it, and I can change my mind about that any time I want. So for a while now, I've been thinking, what would life be like if you weren't propping up a Mr. Palmer or a Mr. Johnson? And now me and Sue, we've figured it out. What we need is one of these, a man's birth certificate, a 35-year-old man called Bruce Worthing. Not all the men came back from the war to claim their jobs back, and Mr. Worthing was one of them. So now, imagine what me and Sue can do with this. We can get a bank account, a mortgage, a loan, a business. We can decide what we want to do, and we can decide what work we women can do. We leave tonight, and we'll walk to Paddington Station. Then we'll catch the first train to Bath. We've been saving in secret for years now. Our husbands never noticed. They were never too bright to understand the books, and it never would have occurred to them that me and Sue could be anything other than their wives. I don't think Reginald even knows where Bath is. I don't think he knows much of anything outside of East End, which I hope means if he comes looking for me with that anger in his eyes, he won't go looking much further than the pub down the road. And so, once we make it to Bath, me and Sue, with the help of Mr. Worthing, we're going to open up a little tea room close to the Royal Crescent. Sue will run the kitchen. She's been collecting recipes from the Woman's Weekly, and I'm going to, well, Mr. Worthing will, hire a young lad to sling these spuds up and down the stairs, and I will be front of house instead of hiding downstairs. It's going to be hard work, but it's going to be much easier than propping up these drunken sods, isn't it? We'll live in the flat above the tea room. We'll make nice curtains and eat currant buns, and we'll smile and we'll sing and we'll laugh loudly. And at the end of the day, when we shut up shop, we'll have a cup of tea in the garden with the radio on. We'll put our feet up and have a natter. We'll have the wind on our faces and the fresh air in our noses, and our bodies and our hearts will be our own. And we will know what it's like to be free. Yes, Reginald, I'm on my way. Oh.